Matthew 14 and verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Dear congregation, in the storms of life, the believer can be assured that the Lord will come to support them. And in doing so, he will bring a word to console them. He has such a heart of mercy. And if you recall, he has a fellow feeling. Remember, he faced trial here upon earth. He faced storms. And we see that in Psalm 69. We hear the Lord speaking through the psalmist, as we know in that psalm, and we read, Save me, O God, for the waters are coming unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. So he himself, he knew it was to face a storm. He has a fellow feeling. Oh, then with such a heart of mercy, he will come to help you, dear child of God. As we saw last time, here in this chapter, we are presented with the storm and we focused on the heart of Christ, the mercy of the Lord in this storm. You recall that he had gone up into a mountain to pray, and the storm begins and he's making intercession for a number of things, but particularly for the disciples who are in the storm. And all that is a great comfort, isn't it? To think now that the Lord Jesus Christ makes intercession. Dear child of God, he thinks about you and the trials you are facing. Secondly, he was touched in mercy and he came to assist them. He came towards them. Oh, what mercy. He will come. Those precious words which were said to the centurion in Matthew 8, verse 7, I will come and heal him. Oh, consider there the mercy, the compassion of Jesus. I will come and heal him. And are we not thankful that he comes through the word and through the Holy Spirit, and he does one good, he helps the sorrow within. His heart is full, but also his hand is full of mercy, and he comes to help. He comes with a heart overflowing in mercy. And then we considered his mercy, how he supported Peter in the storm. And we'll come back to this in a moment. What a merciful Saviour we have who supports us in the storms of affliction. Fourthly, in mercy, he speaks to us. Fourthly and fifthly, in mercy, he brings us through to the other side. And we saw that in Psalm 107, did we not? We read that reading earlier. He bringeth them to a desired haven. What a merciful high priest. What a merciful saviour. Merciful captain and friend. Oh, look at the captain this morning. And as we think of the things we face in life, oh, focus your eye on him. Well, today we continue to consider Jesus in the storm. As we've discovered, there's so much here in this passage, and we could come back to it again if time permitted. But let's consider again this morning as a title, Jesus in the Storm. And first of all, Jesus and his consolation. Children here this morning, we can think there of Jesus and his comfort, how he comforts those in a special way who believe in him, who look to him. Jesus and his consolation. Secondly, Jesus and his invitation. Notice that in verse 29, come. Just that one word he said to Peter, come. And then thirdly, Jesus and his loving rebuke. And then fourthly, Jesus and the haven. Jesus and the haven. The disciples were brought to the other side, a haven, and the Lord was there with them. Well, first of all, then, Jesus and his consolation. As we have seen, the disciples were in great fear. Fear is not a pleasant thing, is it? How many have known fear in the Middle East at this time, in Israel, but also in Gaza, as the rockets have landed and the bombs have fallen? There's been fear. Think of the Second World War. There were those who knew fear, who went underground, down the tube stations and down the tube lines. There they were, underground, day after day, week after week. Here's these disciples. They knew fear as well. And so did those in the underground. Well, here the disciples then, they knew fear. But the Lord, he comes to them. He comes in the fourth watch of the night, as we notice in verse 25. And he comes in mercy to speak to them. Now the storm was violent, and the waves were crashing down upon the boat. And those disciples were in great fear. Yes, they were trying to go forward, but they were in such a storm and they knew great fear within. And then their fears intensified. They see the Lord, but they don't recognize him. The Lord is approaching. And what do we read in verse 26? And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. So they were already fearful, but their fears intensified. It is a spirit. They don't recognize the Lord. Oh, what fear they were in. Remember further, children, it was dark. It was dark and it was so hard. In the dark, our fears can increase. In the physical darkness, sometimes we can be fearful in the nighttime. But in the darkness of affliction, as we see in Isaiah 50, verse 10, our fears can intensify. I remember as a boy, I used to get fearful in the nighttime. We weren't allowed lights on. Mum and Dad used to save the pennies, and so the lights went off in the nighttime. And I used to get fearful at times. And I would cry out. Think of these disciples here. They cried out. It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. It's not pleasant, is it? You cry out for help, and you're even more fearful. For the Lord, he comes. He knows the fear that was in the heart of the disciples. And what does he say in verse 27? "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." They thought it was a spirit. They were mistaken. And Jesus seeks to put their minds at rest. "It is I. Be not afraid." Afraid. It's not one who will come to hurt you. No, it's me who's coming to do you good, to help you inwardly and outwardly. It is I. And you see here the mercy of Christ. He sought to console them in the storm. That's what we need, isn't it? In the storms, we can be so fearful. In some trial, it's hard work. And we're fearful, oh, to hear the voice of Jesus. Have you heard the voice of Jesus? Have you heard it in an initial way? Children, you know the voice of your mum. You know her voice. Or your dad. You recognize. Have you recognized the voice of Christ? Have you heard the voice of Christ? He speaks through the word. In John 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." You children, you think of a shepherd and a flock of sheep. Used to have a flock of sheep out in the fields behind us. The shepherd comes and calls, and the sheep go towards the shepherd. Have you heard the voice of Jesus? "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Is there the evidence in your life that you've heard the voice of Jesus? You're seeking to follow him. You've believed in him and you're following him. Oh, what a comfort there to be known by Christ in a special way. If you're a believer here this morning, oh, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, oh, what a blessing to be known by Christ in a special way. He looks on and he sees you toiling in affliction, and he will come to speak to you again in order to console you. Have you heard his voice in that initial way? Has the deafness now gone? Or are you still spiritually deaf? You hear audibly through the word, the voice of Christ, such as come unto me, but you've not heard in your heart. The deafness is still there. Oh, that you'd be given ears to hear. Oh, what a blessing. You think of those words in the Song of Solomon, the voice of my beloved. Can you say that this morning? The voice of my beloved. I've heard his voice in that initial way, and I'm thankful in the storms I've faced, I've heard his voice through the word again. For the Lord, he comes to console them. Here's the disciples, they're fearful in the storm. They see what they thought was a spirit. The Lord comes. It is I. Be not afraid. It's me. It is I. Be not afraid. And you think they cried out for fear. Jesus seeks to console them. You think of a little child who's upset. Maybe they've had a hard day at school. Somebody's been unkind at school, said something not nice. It may be they've got to go to hospital. Maybe they've got to go to the dentist and they don't look forward to that. And it was painful at the dentist and it was hard at the hospital. They go to their mum and their mum consoles them. Or consider Christ, how he consoles his people. He comforts. It is I, be not afraid. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Have courage. They were discouraged. Is there anyone here this morning? You're discouraged in the affliction you're facing. Discouragements do come. You only have to go to the book of Psalms. And you see there at times the psalmist, he's cast down. That's why the book of Psalms is so helpful, isn't it? It shows us where we are at times. Anybody discouraged? Well, the Lord says, be of good cheer. Have courage. It's me, your friend, the one who will help you, the one who will support you, the one who will lead you through. Have courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. He seeks to put our minds at rest. Oh, that ministry of Christ, and how at times we have found the blessing. He comes alongside through the word and he seeks to put our minds at rest through the word, and we find at times our minds at rest. Oh, he's the consolation of it. It is I, he says. Oh, it's precious, isn't it, when we're aware of Jesus and his voice in the storm. He's come in the storm and he seeks to comfort because of his favour. It's all of grace, isn't it? We don't deserve such help in the storm. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But it's all of grace. It's all of grace, isn't it? His favour. It's because of his mercy. He knows our need. He knew the needs of the disciples in this storm. He knows your need and affliction, dear child of God. And so he will come to console. It's also because of his love. He so loves you. He will never forget. He's loved you with an everlasting love. He'll never forget. So, not only in grace and mercy, but in love. He'll come and in a spiritual way, he'll put his hands around you to assure you of his love, and he will comfort you. Now, as already mentioned, he's called the Consolation of Israel, a lovely title for Christ. We have it in Luke 2, verse 25. You remember Simeon? He was there in Jerusalem, and we're told he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The consolation of Israel. A lovely title for Jesus. The consolation from the Greek, a calling near, a summons to console and comfort. He calls near, he comes near, and then he calls us near. To console us, to comfort us. The consolation of Israel. Oh, to know more of him. Dear children, do you know the consolation of Israel? Yes, fears can come again. Here's these disciples. Those who were true disciples, they had known peace. But here in the storm, fear comes. Oh, he comes again to console. Now, such is the consolation he speaks. We can find delight filling the heart where there is fear. And so we read in Psalm 94, verse 19, in the multitude of my faults within me, thy comforts delight my soul. And that's possible, isn't it? We can have such a fearful heart, but he speaks and delight begins to arise. Yes, we may still have sorrow, as we see in Psalm 13, but delight begins to fill. Ah, he's come to me. He's spoken to me. The only hope of eternal life has spoken to me. The one who can support me in life has spoken to me. And delight can begin to fill the soul. In the multitude of my faults within me, Psalm 94, verse 19, thy comforts delight my soul. He comes to console, and coming behind the comfort, delight can follow. And that's a blessing, isn't it? Thomas Watson wrote, now the scriptures have such an exhilarating, heart-comforting power in them, how clearly they show they are of God. And when we find the Lord so speaking through the word, it can have such an effect. And as we think of the word, we can be assured it's God's word. There's no book like this, dear children. There's no book like this. This book tells us what we're to believe and what we're to practice. This book tells us of eternal life through Jesus Christ. This book tells us what we're to do and that there's support for us in life. Oh, how the Lord speaks. How the Lord can stir the heart in affliction, console. We may be crying, but then the tears begin to stop. And we're focused on Jesus. And we know though the trial is so difficult, the Lord will bring us through. He speaks. He can comfort. Sometimes we don't listen. Not easy to listen at times, is it? In the storm, when the wind is boisterous. But oh, how the Lord can make us listen. How the word can be so effectual. And we find ourselves listening. At times he speaks, but we're sinking, we're struggling. But there's times when we listen and we hear his voice. It's a precious voice, isn't it? Children, you love to hear the voice of your mum or dad or granny, granddad, friend. You love to hear their voice. I love to hear the voice of Jesus. Are you hearing it this morning through the word? As we read the word, let's listen to these words here. Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. He calls out in the darkness of affliction. Sometimes we don't hear. But then he draws near and he makes himself known. When I was a boy in the winter time in the dark, I used to cry out when I would hear my mum and dad speaking, and particularly when I wasn't well. And my mum would come and she would say, you're right. And if she knew I wasn't well, she would take me into the lounge and sit me on the lap. And then I was really aware that I was there and she would comfort me there. Oh, there's times when he speaks, but we're not listening. But there's other times when we're so aware of him. He's made himself known and he's comforting us. It is I, be not afraid. How he comforts us. In 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3 we read, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He's the God of all comfort. Who comforteth us in our tribulation. Now he's the God of all comfort. Now what does that teach us? He's able to help us in every situation. You may say, but what about my situation? It's gone on for so long. It's so hard. He's the God of all comfort. Not just a little for that situation. He's the God of all comfort. And so we can have this assurance. In whatever situation, we can go to him. He comforteth us in all our tribulation. uses the word, as we have seen, and the preaching of it. In Romans 15, verse 4, we read, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Comfort of the Scriptures. And it reminds us, doesn't it, in the storms, we ought to reach for the Word of God. That's what we're to do. We're to turn to the Bible. Dear brothers and sisters, how often in affliction we've been reading, then suddenly a verse really comes home, or a chapter, and we're aware the Lord is speaking. How he uses, oh, what comfort is in this book. Just give you a few examples. Isaiah 35 verse 4. "Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not." The Lord speaks. "Be strong." You may say, "I feel my weakness." Oh, we're to look to the Lord for strength. "They that wait upon the Lord," we're told, "shall renew their strength." There's the promise. "Bring it to the Lord." There's the promise. "Strengthen me, Lord. Keep coming and strengthening me. Be strong, fear not." Isaiah 41 verse 13, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee." He holds our right hand. It's precious, isn't it? Somebody comes alongside, holds our hand to comfort us, to assure us of love and support, and then they speak. Oh, the Lord, he comes to comfort us, to assure us of his love and support, and he speaks, "Fear not, I will help thee." There may be some trial on your mind at the moment. Listen to the Lord. "Fear not, I will help thee. His grace is sufficient through the trial, and in time he will help and deliver." There's comfort there. And then another verse, Isaiah 43 verse 1. "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." I've redeemed thee. Are we not thankful for the Redeemer and redemption through him? Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. We've been saved. Therefore, we can be assured, he'll help us on the voyage towards the desired haven. We've been redeemed. Note those words, "I have called thee by name." He knows our name in a special way. He knows all our names. That's an amazing thought, isn't it, children? He knows your name. Does he know it in a special way? Because you have this simple faith. You're looking unto him. Then these precious words, "Thou art mine." Oh, what a comfort to know we belong to the Lord in a special way. We've been adopted in that gracious way. Oh, what a wonderful thought. "Thou art mine. Therefore, you won't leave us nor forsake us in any of the storms we face. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee." Fear not. Oh, how he comforts through the word. One more in the New Testament. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Luke 2, verse 12. Fear not, little flock. We can feel our smallness, but he comforts us. We can feel many oppose the church in these days. But the Lord Jesus says to us, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not." What a word of comfort, where he consoles through the word and he uses the preaching of the word. Isaiah 40, verse 1 and 2, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Comfort ye, my people. God's servants are to warn. God's servants are to speak of sin. God's servants are to show forth Christ in the gospel. God's servants are to comfort. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem or to the heart. Comfort. Bringing the word and taking it and preaching to the heart. and how God can use, how we need comfort, don't we? Comfort on our sick bed. Comfort when we're troubled by those opposed us. We need comfort one day on our deathbed. Oh, how blessed to know the comfort from Christ. Comfort in our sorrows. We also need comfort in view of our sin. Remember that lady, she came in to the Lord Jesus. She was crying. The Lord had put faith in her heart and also that grace of love. She has tears of love as she looks to Jesus, but she also feels her sin. Jesus says of the woman to Simon, her sins are forgiven. And he says to the woman, go in peace. What a word of comfort for that newborn child, for that new believer. Go in peace. Oh, it's a precious word, isn't it? Go in peace. And he says it again to his people. You see, we're saved, aren't we? We've been justified, all our sins forgiven. God as a judge has forgiven all our sins, but we're still sinners. And we have to seek now fatherly forgiveness. And there's fatherly forgiveness awaiting us. And we can know the peace. We humbly seek the Father's face. We seek the Lord's face. We've done wrong. We humble ourselves and we look to him by faith. And in a penitent way we seek forgiveness. The response is, go in peace. How amazing. We fail the Lord. But when we feel convicted and he brings us to a point, oh, we've got to say sorry to the Father. There's forgiveness. Go in peace. Well, see how he sought to comfort those fearful disciples. It is I. Are you listening to him now? It is I. Are you hearing the voice of Jesus through the word? It is I. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Remember those words, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Peace. Do you know a little measure of it? It may be you're fearful at this time. Is there a little measure of peace returning as you're listening to these words? You may say, no, we'll keep looking to Jesus. If you're not a Christian, you look to Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. Dear child of God, remember his title. He's the consolation of Israel and the Prince of Peace. He is so expert in consoling. You look to him. It will come. It will come. Peace I leave with you. What a legacy. What a great legacy that is. Peace. Maybe someone here is fearful. You're not a believer. Fearful of the future. Fearful of death. Fearful of eternity. Cry out to him. You notice these disciples, they cried out for fear. They didn't recognize the Lord. Well, here's the Lord before us in the word. You cry to him. You may be fearful, but you cry out to him. And I can assure you, if you look to him by way of faith and you give evidence of that by repenting of your sin, he will console you. Well, here we think firstly, and time is going so quickly already, Jesus and his consolation. But let's consider secondly, and we'll leave it here today. Secondly, Jesus and his invitation. Jesus and his invitation. Come with me to verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now the Lord sought to console the disciples. It is I, be not afraid. Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. And this is Peter's response. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. He recognizes the voice, but there's some question. Do you see that there? There's some doubt. There's some lack of assurance. If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. How we need help. How we need help to exercise faith. We may be looking, but doubts can arise, like it was here with Peter. And at this point, can you remember the father who had a child who was in distress? And we read this, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Lord, I believe, I'm believing in thee, but help thou my unbelief. What do we read here? Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. If it be thou, Lord, he's speaking the Lord's name. He has faith, but there's some doubt. There's some question. If it be thou, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. He may be your new convert. You're looking unto Jesus, but you struggle at times. I did. I remember for the first few months, I seemed to be focused, but then doubts arose. And I used to struggle with doubts often. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Help me, Lord. Help mine unbelief. Speak again. Speak again to me, Lord. Notice this here, the Lord comes. Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And if we struggle at times, make this prayer, Lord, speak to me again. Oh, that I would hear thy voice. Speak again, and he will. He will speak again. If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And here comes the invitation. And he said, come, come. Come, says Christ. The Lord says to Peter in the storm, you come. You trust me. You exercise faith. Now consider, children, the Lord standing on the water. And he's speaking to Peter. Come. Bid me come unto thee on the water. And the Lord says, come. He says, come to you, dear child of God. The support is there. I'm able to help you. Look at me. Look at my power. Trust me. And Peter, he responds. Verse 29, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Come. Have you heard Jesus say that in an initial way? Come. Come unto me. Matthew 11. What does it mean to go or to come? You children, when your mum or dad says, come here, you know what that means. You're to go. You're to go to them. Sometimes you may not want to listen, but you come here. What does it mean then to go to Jesus? For the Lord makes that very plain in John 6, verse 35. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that cometh, believeth on me, shall never thirst. You see that? He that cometh shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. To go, to come, is to believe. Have you gone to Jesus? He is there. He's there now. And he stretches out his arms to you in the gospel. Come unto me. Have you gone? You may say, well, I've heard this before. Perhaps I've refused too many times. He says, come. You may say, I'm too young. I'm reminded in Isaiah 40, verse 11, there are lambs in the arms of Jesus. So it's an invitation to you. You may say, well, I've done so much wrong. Turn with me to Luke 15. And we have the answer for that there. Luke 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. They drew near. There was a complaint. This man receiveth sinners. I have no complaint. And I can tell you, you may say, well, I've done so much wrong. Jesus has come. Have you gone in that initial way? Dear brothers and sisters, through grace you went. And you know the Lord. Well, he says to you in the storm, here's the invitation. You come. Come. What do we read? Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. We're not going to be walking on the water like that. But oh, we can make our way unto Jesus in the storm. We can look to him next time, in a few weeks' time, we'll come back to this and we'll consider when Peter was sinking. But here's the invitation. Come. Come. You think of the trial you're facing, the storm you are in. Dear brothers and sisters, Jesus says this to you now. Come. You may be struggling with pain, inward and outward. Jesus says to you, come. Can I ask you? Are you making your way now? Children, you know when somebody says come, you make your way. Are you making your way now? We who are the children of God, are we going to Jesus? He's there. He calls to us. He's speaking. Come. Will we go like Peter? Are we going to Jesus now? Just consider him. He is full of compassion. He is full of strength. He was standing there on the water, having walked to them on the water. Oh, go to him. Trust him. You can. He says, come. You need him in this trial. He says, come. What a loving invitation. What a compassionate invitation. He knows the needs. He knows the sorrows. He says, come, dear child of God, come to me now. Pour out your heart to me. Come, look to me. What a gracious invitation. Come. Oh, let's make our way to Jesus now. He is one we can trust. He is a shelter in the storm. In Isaiah 26, verse 20, we read, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpast. Come, my people. Come, says Christ. What a blessing to be in the family. Oh, what a blessing to be in the family. Come, my people. Comfort ye, my people, is the call for the ministers to comfort. And then the Lord speaks, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. Come, there's refuge in me. Oh, to get close to Jesus. When you're fearful, children, you like to hug your mum or your dad. Oh, to embrace Christ, as we see in Psalm 2, verse 12, though to know the comfort from him. Come, are you responding to Jesus? Peter, he responds. He gets down out of the ship, and through the Lord's strength, he walks a little on the water. Are you responding? Are you going? The psalmist said in Psalm 57, verse 1, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. I will. He says to you now, come. Are you going? Is it your purpose? I will make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. You think of what's happened in the Middle East. Think particularly at the children who've had to shelter in safe places. Oh, Jesus is a safe place in the storms of life. And he says to you now, come. Peter was helped, wasn't he? He was helped to walk a little on the water. Next time we'll consider doubts came. And it happens, doesn't it? But he help you. When my heart is overwhelmed, we sang earlier, lead me to the rock. We don't trust ourselves. It's our purpose to go, but he says, lead me. He will help you. Say to the Lord, I'm coming now in this trial. He will help you. He is able to strengthen your faith so that you can make your way unto Jesus. I ask you in closing, are you now making your way unto Jesus? Amen.